News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. It is 8:06 on Mobile Mornings. Gray skies, but they're going to get brighter, and we're going to have the rain's pretty much going to get out of here, which we've had enough of that now. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe. We have all 3 days we had some rain.
Time to skedaddle.
Yeah.
Rain.
Time to get nice for the weekend. Then it's going to get nice again after rain moves back in. Dr. Bill explains that Wednesday and Thanksgiving Day look great.
Yeah. Clear and low to mid-60s for Thanksgiving,
yes.
Which is absolutely perfect.
Just great. I know you've got an appointment later on today downtown.
Yeah. First time I've been invited, I think it's the first time I've been invited to speak at a summit for business. This is Unity Fiber, who asked me to come down and talk to them. They provide our internet here, and I'm not sure if they're looking for me to be a motivational speaker, really get them fired up heading into 2024.
I really hope not.
Let's hope not.
No, I'm just kidding.
So they want to know about how the Unity Fiber is helping FM Talk 106.5. And I'm going to tell them in many ways it's helping us. Can you imagine if we didn't have internet?
Well, we've had internet in the past that wasn't so reliable.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can bring, so I would start out just bashing the other guy.
That's my, I'm going to start slinging mud immediately.
Get them all on your side by just going in hard on the other guy, and you're assured a standing ovation.
Man. Yeah, I think so. And then I'll start getting into financial advice, doing some of the usual, speaker things there.
I would not shy away from marriage problems. I mean, if these people want to pour their soul to you, if they see you, okay, because remember the way you hit it off with them great at the tent at South Alabama game.
Yeah, yeah.
We were at the Unity Fiber tent there.
Yeah, they put me on the field. That was cool.
Yeah, that was great. And so, if they feel oh, it's Dalton again. There he is. He's a pretty big star. they could feel compelled to tell you about all their life's problems.
Yeah, yeah. And I can start solving them right there.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it.
they would never invite me again.
It's 10 o'clock today, right?
That's right.
All right. So, by the way, there's a Hargrove Engineering event coming up.
Yeah.
And that's the one that's
Sullenberger.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? So, I never saw the movie. Was it Tom Hanks?
Yeah, it was Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. He needs to find a role, doesn't he? He never gets
The good parts.
Never gets any good parts. Sully Sullenberger. And I remember following the story when this happened, him landing on the Hudson, New York's Hudson River. Amazing. Absolutely heroic.
Yes.
You throw that term around a lot, but is there anything more heroic than putting a domestic flight down on the water and not losing anybody?
Saving probably 200 lives.
Right? Yeah. So he's coming to Mobile 2 weeks from now, the Renaissance Riverview, 6 p.m. Sully Sullenberger will be the keynote speaker for the Hargrove Foundation. He is the U.S. Ambassador to the International Civil Aviation Organization. And they said all Sully ever wanted to be was a pilot. He's a dead serious pilot, and I imagine there's a lot of folks you probably would not want flying a plane if it were to go down like theirs were. And what was the – I forget what exactly happened there. Did they lose their wheels?
Bird. Was it birds?
A bird? Okay. I guess I need to watch the Tom Hanks movie so I'll remember exactly what happened. All I know is that something happened and he had to put it down on the Hudson.
Yeah, I would just Google the story because Tom Hanks movie could change the narrative a little bit. They do
possibly.
They do that in Hollywood every now and then. That event, by the way, I remember I was honored to be the MC for the first ever Hargrove Foundation dinner.
Nice.
To raise money. And it was John Stallworth. He was a receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the 70s. He was out of Huntsville, went to Alabama A&M, and man, what a guy he is.
Really?
He's a Hall of Famer and just a terrific businessman and philanthropist up in the Huntsville area. Just really has had a very successful life after football.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was great.
They seem to be, since then, bringing in pretty good speakers.
Yep.
So if you like Sully Sullenberger, and you know more about his story than I do.
Everyone raise your hand.
Then you'll want to check him out there at the Hargrove. He'll be the keynote speaker. Again, that's 2 weeks from tonight. So this Senate vote the Senate vote that happened late last night. Now, initial reports, or at least what I got from New York Post earlier, about who voted which way, there's a discrepancy here. Because, you know, with the House, you had three from the Alabama delegation vote for the continuing resolution when that passed yesterday or 2 days ago. And then you had four vote against. And I believe the four that voted against it, well, I know it included Jerry Carl and Barry Moore. And so with the Senate passing this CR last night, which really didn't change much, it keeps federal spending at current levels, gives them another 2 months to wait until the deadline again.
By the way,
they'll figure it out before then.
And we were expecting it to pass the Senate, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, Biden is expected to sign it soon. The deadline is tomorrow night at midnight. Well, the New York Post said that the vote was 87 to 11 with 11 no's. And they said Democrat Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado was the only Democrat who voted against the CR. I need to find his reasoning for that. And then 10 Republicans. And they did not have Tuberville as a no vote. They had Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Mike Braun from Indiana, Crapo?
Let's call him Crapo.
Mike Crapo.
He's Crapo on this station.
On this station, yeah. He'll need to come on the air and
he can come on the air and tell
debate us
it's
if he wants to change it. Mike Lee from Utah, no vote. Rand Paul, James Risch from Idaho. Eric Schmidt from Missouri, Rick Scott, Florida, J.D. Vance from Ohio. And then New York Post says Mark Wayne Mullen was also a no. Of course, Mark Wayne in the news here recently for trying to fight the Teamster leader on Tuesday. But turns out that I think the New York Post had it wrong, that it was actually Tommy Tuberville who opposed the vote, not Mark Wayne. So they got Mark Wayne Mullen and Tuberville confused, apparently. So Katie Britt supported the continuing resolution. And Tommy Tuberville voted against. Now, we do have comment from Katie Britt. Said, today I joined my Senate colleagues in passing a common-sense continuing resolution that will prevent a Christmas season omnibus and ensure our men and women in uniform continue to be paid. Here is the audio from Katie Britt's Twitter page here.
Hi, this is Senator Katie Britt. Today, I joined Senate colleagues in voting to pass a common sense continuing resolution that will prevent a Christmas season omnibus and avoid a disastrous government shutdown. This measure, which was drafted by House Republicans, will ensure that Americans don't see an interruption in critical government services, and our troops and Border Patrol agents and ICE officers and Capitol Police will continue to be paid. Growing up outside the gates of Fort Rucker in the Wiregrass, I saw firsthand the tremendous sacrifice made by our men and women in uniform and the sacrifice made by their families. Those who give so much in service to our nation should not have to spend Thanksgiving being worried about whether or not their next paycheck will be here or their Christmas season, wondering how they'll put presents under the tree. This continuing resolution gives Congress the time to keep working to move all 12 appropriations bills in a transparent, accountable, and responsible manner. Let's do our job and complete the critical work on behalf of the American people.
Now, hands up if you think they're going to pass all 12 appropriations bills with their new two-month deadline. Mm. Do you think they figure it out this time?
I don't. I don't know. The first answer would come to my mind would be no. I don't know. But she read that like it was a Christmas story. She was reading to us out of a book about, like, she was Mrs. Claus or something.
Yeah.
But she's got, you know, her way of communicating is a little dramatic.
A little. Yeah, I was trying to think of how to describe it. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's, and I think it comes off a little less genuine because it's a little dramatic. I like Katie.
I do too.
I think she's good for Alabama. I think she's good for I think she's got a very, very bright future. But anyway.
Right. Does it work? Yeah, does that style work? It works when you're selling books because apparently she has sold a lot of books over the last couple weeks with her new book out. Yeah, and it's like on the New York Times bestseller list, which honestly these days, if you're a notable name, it doesn't take a whole lot to be on that bestseller list. But still, that's saying a lot. But it's also saying a lot, I think, about her aspirations to be putting a book out. This style of explainer, I mean, we still don't know why Tuberville voted no. I'll need to check his Twitter page. I haven't gotten any press releases yet on why he was a no vote. But Katie Britt, I mean, she gives you a minute and a half explanation, and she's standing in front of two American flags. And it was kind of like a presidential kind of address there.
Right. She does when she's on tour, you could say, selling her book when she's on different, you know, like ABC, CBS, some of the major networks. You know, she catches fire from Tuberville's actions. Yeah, and from being in the state of Alabama in Tuberville with the holding up all the promotions. You know, she's got to sit there and answer those questions.
Yeah, and she can't. You know, well, she could, but she's not going to say that she doesn't like what Tuberville's doing because it is incredibly popular what he's doing in the state.
Yeah.
And you don't know how that would affect her numbers.
I agree.
On the other end of the spectrum with this continuing resolution. Now, Chip Roy is a congressman from Texas, and he's been the most outspoken against a continuing resolution. And he continued to speak, I believe, yesterday after the House had voted this through. Here's a cut of what Chip Roy had to say.
Through suspension of the rules. Oh, we can't have a shutdown heading into Thanksgiving. What will they say or do? How about we stand up and fight and go to the American people and tell them that we believe we should be doing what they sent us here to do? Limiting spending, securing the border of the United States, standing with Israel, but paying for this stuff as we go so our kids and our grandkids don't inherit a bankrupted country and they don't have to wonder what freedom used to look like while they're speaking Mandarin. One thing. I want my Republican colleagues to give me one thing, one, that I can go campaign on and say we did. One.
So do you agree with Chip Roy? Have the Republicans picked up any wins since the 2022 midterms? Because Chip Roy doesn't seem to think they do. I'm sure you poll, and I could come up with a couple things that they've done.
Such as?
Well, give me the break and I'll figure it out.
Because I'm sitting here trying to think myself, like, I don't know that I can answer that. Yeah, give us both the break, y'all, and we'll come back. Or maybe you can help us on the text line, too, 251-343-0106.
What has the Republican Congress done to help their cause going into 2024?
Okay. 19 after 8. Dan, so what have they done politically to help their cause?
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right. 819, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Good morning to you.
Thank you, Kane. 824 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Coming back to the phones and texts here in a minute. 251-343-0106. Plus, visiting with Rob Holbert and the latest issue of Lanyap on Stance Now. That'll come up in about 10 minutes from now. This segment brought to you by the local personal injury law firm and good friends of mine at Tobias and Comer Law. They've helped get fair compensation for hundreds, maybe thousands of people in our area, and they've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. And with the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and everything in between, every Christmas party and Thanksgiving party in between, they want to make sure you're staying safe out there and realize the dangers of driving under the influence, whether that's the influence of drugs or drinking. It can be life-changing, not just for you, but other people out there on the road. And it's easy to overindulge, for sure, when you go out to some of these parties with coworkers or friends and family. But at this point, absolutely no excuse for driving under the influence with so many different options out there like Uber and Lyft or staying at the family member's house or having a friend drive you home. Don't drive drunk this holiday season. Tobias and Comer Law, they have really a lot of great resources on their website, including tips for teen safety in driving and also car seat safety and about 100 other things that they've been over throughout the years. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. You can call them anytime, 24/7, for a free consultation, 251-432-5001, and check them out online, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Unknown texter on the text line says, that was funny. You played that clip from the congressman complaining about China influence while on a Chinese app.
Yeah, you could hear the TikTok sound there at the end.
That's what that was.
I was watching it on Twitter, which is American owned. But yeah, that was from TikTok, which is hilarious. He said our grandkids are going to have to learn Mandarin because of the spending levels that we're at. And it is, there's a few humorous stories coming out from this Chinese visit to the United States. Like, it's funny to me that they've been able to clean up San Francisco as quickly as they have. Mm-hmm. And so nice. They've been pressure washing the sidewalks in preparation for Xi Jinping to arrive for days. They couldn't hide everything, though. There's a lot of press in town for this thing.
Right.
From all over the world. Czechoslovakian TV journalists who were in San Francisco covering this summit were robbed at gunpoint on Sunday.
Nice.
They lost over $18,000 worth of equipment and a day's worth of footage.
Wow.
One of the correspondents said three masked assailants with guns approached him and his crew on Sunday evening and demanded their production equipment and then drove off with the cameras and other gear. He said they were heading at my cameraman, aiming a gun at his stomach and one at my head. They had to rush to Best Buy to purchase cables and new lights. I'm surprised there's still a Best Buy in town there in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm surprised Best Buy that would be open at night.
Yeah. Said police arrived within a minute of the 911 call, but just missed the thieves taking off. Since then, the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, said her office and the city is working to support the journalists and said that their staff will help replace their stolen equipment.
Couple of things. That is so embarrassing. That, I mean, you talk about, I mean, that's unreal. Second of all, most police have something called a police car. So if the guy's just left, certainly you can get a couple people in their police cars and go in a certain direction to try and find them.
Yeah.
If you have a description of the car.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about how this went down, but I do know San Francisco is notorious for police chases. I mean, have you ever seen the movie Bullet?
Sure.
It's awesome with those roads and the tram.
Oh, yeah, the what?
Get a lot of air.
Yeah, you get a lot of air. They did way back when Michael Douglas was a young police officer. I forget the lead guy, but the show was called The Streets of San Francisco.
Mm.
And it was one car in midair after another, you know, with the hills in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That was back in the 70s.
That's bucket list for me, getting a police chase in San Francisco. See well, how that goes.
Good luck. I'll scratch it off my list and you knock yourself out.
This one a lot less funny and more serious. They put it out yesterday. The House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party put out a 42-page report knowing that Xi Jinping is in America right now. And more on this Chinese-owned biolab in California that was busted last year. Now they're saying that in this Chinese-owned biolab, thousands of vials of biosubstances, including some labeled HIV and a freezer marked Ebola. They found these inside the biolab. Now, the CDC and FBI initially refused to investigate this. They were finally, their hand was forced when everything came to light. December of last year, Jessalyn Harper, an observant code enforcement officer, found a green garden hose sticking out of a hole in the side of a warehouse that was thought to be vacant for more than a decade. Once she went inside, she discovered the lab equipment, manufacturing devices, medical-grade freezers, lab mice, and vials labeled in Mandarin, English, and in a code that's still undeciphered.
Hmm.
And she encountered several individuals in lab coats who identified themselves as Chinese nationals.
But Biden says he's concerned with fentanyl and a couple of issues. He never brought up COVID-19.
He didn't.
Not publicly. Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35 on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. Good to have this guy along, Rob Hobart from Lanyap Mobile. How are you, Rob?
Doing good, guys. What's going on with y'all?
We're having a good time, and rain has let up for a little bit, but it was rain we really needed. We can get into that in a minute with the cover story.
Yeah.
But first, I got to ask you, a couple big openings this week and weekend for Mobile. You have Topgolf finally opening at McGowan on officially on Friday night, although I've seen a lot of people who have already made their way in somehow. And then I think Saturday, is that when Wingman opens downtown St. Louis Street?
I think it's both.
So
this weekend is happening here.
Yeah.
You know, it's I'm excited because, you know, we've been included in that small town tour of concerts. You know, they're coming out to the. So I think this is good for us to maybe step it up a little bit as a small town.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Are you a Topgolf guy, Rob? Have you gone?
I've
to
never
Topgolf?
Been to one.
No, it's a good time.
I'm not a golfer.
You don't have to.
I mean, I'm excited about it because I think this is one of those things where it sounds like a good plan. You know, I don't have to walk a lot, drink beer, and hit golf balls. That sounds fine. You know, it's the only part of golf I'm even remotely decent at is driving the ball. So this is perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say drinking beer.
Well, that part I'm good at.
That comes naturally, for sure.
I didn't know that's technically part of the game.
Yeah, well, it is.
And that, you're right. Topgolf, I've been several times, and you don't have to even like golf to go, and should be a good time. So I know a lot of people are fired up about that, and I'm looking forward to getting in there for the first time. Actually, my wife went ahead and scheduled a double date for us there, but problem is when you let your wife, she scheduled it during the SEC championship game. So I'm having to tell everyone, like, hey,
not so nice.
Let's hold off.
I'm sure they'll have it. I'm sure it'll be on. You can watch that.
That's a good point.
I've got breaking news for you, Dalton. I'm not trying to be a wise guy here, but Tennessee is not going to be in that game.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess you're right. So the cover story, we've been dealing with such dry weather. Finally, got some rain these last few days, and I knew that it was having its effect on farmers out here, but you sent Kyle Hamrick out to talk to several farmers, and they did say they're having a smaller harvest than usual.
Yeah, you can thank us. We put a story about a drought on the cover, and it rained for four straight days. But,
the rain dance.
Yeah.
We did that, but you know, they said that doesn't really matter. We're still in drought conditions even after all that. But yeah, it's, you know, that's, he went out and talked to a lot of farmers over there, and it really it harmed a lot of the crops. I mean, there's a lot of people who got far lower yields than they normally would, and these guys have been out there farming for 60 years, so it's the worst they've ever seen. But you know, we have that El Nino effect going on right now, so that we typically do get some drier conditions when that happens.
Yeah, but
not trying to get Dr. Bill on you here.
But I mean, even that, it's been absolutely ridiculous. 6 inches of rain between August and October of this year, and then I think we all suffered with the extra power bill. Very little cloud coverage throughout all of that, plus some ridiculously hot temperatures. Kyle also talked to a good friend of ours here at the station, Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market. And so he kind of got, whether it's peanut farmers or vegetable farmers, everyone in some way has been affected by this dry weather.
Yeah, it's been something. I mean, of course, all of us had to water our lawns, do all that stuff. But this one of these areas, you know, we always look out west and see people having to ration water and do things like that. And I always make the joke, you know, here that we could sit around and flush our toilets all day long because we have more water than we need.
But, that's so much fun.
You know, yes, the joke may be on me at this point. Yeah. This is pretty bad. This is as bad as it's get. I mean, we're not in any sort of water rationing here in Mobile. You know, or on the Eastern Shore, there has been some. You know, Fairhope, there has been.
Yeah, they put that agreement together with Daphne to help each other out when they're in a tight, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you got to make sure the flowers are blooming.
Yeah.
Keep them going.
And one thing about this, too, is which I don't see this part of the story being told. I mean, we're talking about from like May on. I mean, the summer was just record high temperatures, no rain.
Yeah.
And that was from May, June, July, August. I mean, you could talk about it being from August to now or whatever, but this has been going on for half the year.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
Yeah, we didn't even get any kind of tropical disturbance to just dump some water on it.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty bad. Yeah, it's as bad as it gets. I mean, it's very rare we ever see this. We're always one of the wettest cities in the country. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're probably not there this year. I just saw actually this one is Fort Lauderdale is getting it all this year. But, they're not usually anywhere near that here where we are. We're way below average, but I'm sure that knowing how things work around here, we'll catch up.
Well, when the Bay Bears were in town, remember the Bay Bears?
Mm-hmm.
It would.
Yeah, I remember those guys.
It would rain almost every afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then it would, you know, the ground crew would have to run out and take care of it, and batting practice would be backed up and all that kind of stuff. So minor league baseball, that may be the key to our weather problem.
If we want to bring it back, that could be it.
Yeah, and next year maybe plan this cover story in August, and you'll fix this problem a lot earlier with the
rain. We should have done this a lot earlier.
So the big story this week, and I know so many of us get fatigue from seeing stories like this, not just here but nationwide. But Mayor Sandy Stimson calling for a moratorium on pre-dawn search. What do they call them? I guess they knock on the door and they head in with the search warrant.
Warrants. They're bringing in the warrants, and.
And so this week you have they had a warrant for an 18-year-old on this street near Cottage Hill, actually fairly close to where our station is here, and it was for what they believed was weed distribution, marijuana distribution. They get in. This is around 5:30 in the morning, and a 16-year-old. Hops out with a pistol that had a laser sight on it, and Mobile police say that pistol was aimed at one or more of the officers, and that they opened fire, and that 16-year-old ended up dying at a local hospital. And the 18-year-old, they ended up arresting him, but not for weed distribution, weed possession. Yep. And you have the mayor
it's like
saying,
their tip was wrong or their tip was inaccurate.
Possibly. And what's different in this case is the family, the mother has seen the body camera footage.
Yep.
Unlike the other case that's been talked about so much at the Mobile City Council.
Juwan Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you make of
this? It's, you know, the thing, I think, if you look at the warrant, it was actually, I'm pretty sure it was for possession and paraphernalia. I don't think it was, there was a discussion about that in the warrant, that there was, that the person had observed distribution, et cetera. But, you know, it's one of those things, it's like, I mean, I am certainly a supporter of our police, and I want them to get out there and stop crime. However, you know, somewhere along the line, you just feel like you got to have somebody at the top of this thing saying, you know, whether it's one of the people who is, you know, one of the officers, one of the people running the police department, the chief, or somebody like that who has dozens or decades of experience, somebody should say, you know, there's a lot of downside to this. What's the upside of getting a guy who maybe, you know, has some pot and maybe distributing some pot to go to his house in the, you know, pre-dawn hours when we don't know who's there, apparently. They obviously didn't know he was there. He wasn't there. They clearly didn't seem to have any idea who else was in the house. So, this is the second time this has happened this year where somebody during a search warrant has gotten killed who wasn't the target of the warrant even. And that's a problem. And the other one was for, you know, it was burglary and stolen goods. You know, these aren't life or death circumstances. And I understand the police want to have the upper hand and surprise people. But, you know, if you come kicking my door in at 5 o'clock, you're going to get a gun pointed at you. Or 4 o'clock in the morning, that's going to happen. I mean, that's going to happen at a lot of people's homes.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially, I'm sure, if people are involved in criminal activity, somebody beating on the door and yelling, hey, it's the police, and kicking the door in, you know, anybody can yell, hey, it's the police. I don't, you know, and I mean, I think it's something I'm glad the mayor is making this something where they're looking at it a little more closely, because it's, you know, if you've been able to watch this guy sell weed or distribute it, and you've had people out there watching him on a routine basis, there's an officer writing this warrant saying, well, I observed this, I observed that, go arrest him. You know, why does it have to be at his home at 3:30 or 4 in the morning, we've had a lot of bad results, and, you know, hopefully there's going to be some thought process going into that. I don't think anybody really wants that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. And then you start to measure out, was the police action, did it match up with the crime that they were suspecting was being committed? And in the end,
you know, I mean, I would hope even the judges, you know, when they're issuing a warrant like this, they're looking at it saying, is this an overuse of a police authority, you know, for something like this? Is it, you know, do we need, you know, if you have something that is potentially a misdemeanor crime or a property crime or something like that, is it worth getting the SWAT team together or having a group come in and kick the door in and risk this type of thing? It seems to me it's a risk for the officers. I know they say, well, it's less of a risk in the, you know, in the middle of the night because we have the element of surprise, but I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if they knocked on my door at noon, I would be a lot less jumpy and nervous than if somebody kicked in my door at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, or if it's, you know, marijuana possession, wait until they get in the vehicle, pull them over, something like that. But then I know there's other risks.
There's risks with everything. I mean, yeah, the guy might run. I mean, I get it, but it's, you know, I mean, I'm not a police officer, and I've never been one, and it's the toughest job out there. But, you know, I don't know that this is... Given the fact it's happened twice this year, maybe there's some thought that needs to go into it.
Well, that's where Stimson came in.
Yeah, yeah. And
while a 16-year-old, we can argue a 16-year-old shouldn't have a laser-sighted pistol. We also have to be realistic that there is a lot of gun violence among very young people in our community, and there are people who have guns in their homes everywhere, and you know, and the reaction to someone, you know, if you are in a neighborhood and you are maybe involved in things that are criminal, and you may be worried about people coming to get you who are not the police, you may be much more likely to pull a gun if you hear the door being kicked open.
Yeah. You know,
so
I feel for the officers, you know, that we're following orders.
Sure.
Following orders. And, I mean, what are you going to do when you're on the job and someone points a pistol at you? You got to do your job.
Yep.
And you're already there following orders. So it's just a sad situation all the way around.
Nobody won.
I am surprised by a number of you on the text line who are saying it was reasonable for the shooting just because the 16-year-old shouldn't have had a firearm. I mean, I thought so many of you were like me and, you know, Second Amendment absolutists pretty much. And I know that there's an age of 18, right? But still, if I was living in some of these areas, I would want my 16-year-old to be proficient with a weapon and not use it for evil, but to have it on. And like you said, Rob, if somebody's breaking my door down in the morning and I don't know what's going on, there's probably a firearm that's getting pulled, and you don't want this same thing to happen.
So, I mean, if it was a 16-year-old with a shotgun that he uses to go hunting with his dad, then that's not okay to shoot him then. But if he has a pistol that maybe he doesn't own, it's okay to shoot him. That logic is flawed.
Illogical. I mean, it's illogical.
You know, we can't just say if somebody, because they're doing something illegal in their home, that they deserve to be shot. I mean, there are lots of people around here doing illegal stuff in their homes that, you know, and I think a lot of the same people would argue, hey, what I do in my house is my business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't, you know, that kind of logic, you know, so a 16-year-old should get shot. I think that's not really what anybody wants, and I doubt those officers feel really good about it either.
No way.
Everyone's lost terribly in this, and I don't think the story is just going to float away. We'll see how that goes.
Rob, if folks want to sign up like I do online and get Lanyap articles as they're written, delivered directly to them, how do they do that? And also, if they want the hard copy, the paper copy in their hand, how can they get that?
Well, you can pick us up at boxes all over town. Of course, you can go online at lanyapmobile.com, sign up. It's $1 for the first month, $6.50 a month. After that, it's a very cheap subscription for getting news every day.
Oh, we made it almost all the way.
We made it last week, same thing, right?
Yeah. Lanyatmobile.com. A lot of texts on this latest thing. We'll try to get to some of them here. Tim said, I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback the Mobile Police Department. I think that's probably what I agree with the most here. But a lot of you, you're leaving context out of this story. When someone comes into your house, anyway, we'll get to this after the break. 343-0106.
851, Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings.
Thanks, Kane. 855. Coming to the text here in a minute. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Making junk disappear on both sides of the bay. All you have to do is point. And they've been doing fantastic work in our area for 15 years. So many of us here at the station have used Trey Bennett's crew, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, to get rid of our junk. And we all have glowing reviews, just like the 233 five-star Google reviews for Trey Bennett and 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile. It's very easy to set up an appointment, and I know some of you will be doing that in a rush with Thanksgiving coming up just a week away. Maybe you have company coming over. You need to get rid of some of the junk you've been stacking up over the months or years. You call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and set your appointment up. It's very easy, and often you can get same-day service. Plus, once they're out there, they'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. So have the friendly professional teams at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do all the heavy lifting for you. Call that number or go online today to set up your appointment.
All right. Having a little back and forth with Art on the text line. We'll get to that. Jason says... By the way, let me send that off there. Jason says, guys, this is about all I'm hearing from Hulbert is excuses for the criminals. What's the difference if he's pulled over for speeding or what? You know, I think that the fact that in the end, a 16-year-old is dead, I think it prompts us to consider the whole event, police action, and that's what the mayor did.
Well, and I would even take the age out of it, honestly, because so many people on the left, they'll use age as a reason to gain sympathy points, often when there is severe criminal actions being going on from whatever the age. So let's just, what I'm seeing here, and I agree with Tim, I agree with you too, Terry, talking about Monday morning quarterbacking without all the facts. 100%, I agree. I'd love to hear more about how and why this went down. But based off of what we've heard, all I'm saying is the juice worth the squeeze? If this is just marijuana possession or dealing marijuana, I don't know how much, but is that worth the risk of breaking a home's door down with a warrant before dawn, right? And even if that wasn't a 16-year-old, you know, we've talked about how unsafe it is across America. And if somebody, you guys who are listening, can't tell me that after all we've talked about over the years, that you aren't ready with a firearm when somebody breaks down your door. You can't, and if you aren't, you probably should be ready. And if this were happening and they went to the wrong house, how can you be so sure you wouldn't pick up a pistol and point? Now, I know the 16-year-old probably shouldn't have had that pistol. He wasn't legal age, but that's beside the point that I'm trying to make is, was the risk reward worth it? Joel says he's a drug dealer. That's not...
It's worth the conversation.
That's not proven.
No,
but
it's worth the conversation. And there were complaints in that neighborhood, evidently, about the family in that house and all that.
And there's a lot of context. You're right. But all I'm asking, is it worth the risk when there are other ways to do this, when you're talking about marijuana?
You got cops who have got on their heart now that a 16-year-old is dead. They feel terrible, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and they're following orders.
859, Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings.